Hello and welcome to Andrew Burns Presents, the show where I take you on an audio journey through my stories. I am your host and narrator, Andrew Burns. I also go by the pen name A. Lawrence Burns. In this series, I will be reading you my collected works of short stories and novels, so sit back and enjoy the journey. Continuing on with The Farthest Man from Home, Chapter 4. Bill stepped into a hazy low light of the cellar, the seediest bar in town. He scanned the room, past all the regular early starters, and saw Law sitting at the table by himself at the back of the room with a bottle of whiskey, a shot glass, and a beer sitting in front of him. Bill was relieved to see that Law was all right, even though he looked like shit. The call he had received from Law an hour ago had surprised him. Law had always left home early and came home late, but he could always hear Law leaving or coming back. Law usually stopped at his room wanting to play video games or caps. It was the first time that he had heard a peep from Law in 3 days. Katie coming to the house and telling him that Law had freaked out over something stupid and took off didn't help his worrying at all. He thought that Law had gotten drunk and wrecked his car somewhere. But he was Law's oldest friend and knew him well enough to know that sometimes the mood hit him and he wanted to disappear for a while. It was the first time he had been gone for so long, though. The last thing Bill expected to get was a call to come to the bar so early. Bill ordered a beer and a shot glass from the bar and made his way across the bar and sat down next to Law. Bill reached over the table, grabbed the bottle of whiskey, and poured himself a shot. "What's going on there, buddy?" he asked, downing a shot and chasing it with his beer. "Oh, shit, I have no idea. All I know now is that I don't have a job anymore." Law put the shot glass to his lips and gulped. He slammed the glass down on the table so hard Bill was afraid that it would shatter. "What? You quit or you got fired?" Bill asked. "Fired," Law said with venom in his voice. "How did that happen? Clint lets you get away with murder at that place," Bill said. "Apparently he doesn't like it when you miss 3 days of work," Law said. He was angry, but Bill could tell that there was something else wrong with him. He seemed kind of jumpy. His eyes darted back and forth between drinks like he was expecting something to happen. It worried Bill. He had never seen Law act like this. "Yeah," Bill drugged the word out, still thinking of a way to approach the subject. "I've been meaning to ask you about that. Where have you been? Katie came by the house looking for you the other day. She's pretty worried about you." With the way Law was looking, Bill didn't have the heart to tell him about Katie's failed attempt at flirting. "That's the thing. I've absolutely no idea. Up until I got the call from Clint telling me I was fired, I thought I left Katie's house last night," Law said. The door to the bar opened, and Law jerked his head around to see who was coming in. When he saw an old man walk in, he took a swig of his beer and looked back at Bill. There was a look in his eyes that Bill had never seen on Law's face before. Fear. "Where did you go after you left Katie's house?" Bill asked. "I went out on that canal road on 700. You know, the one that gives you the awesome views of the sky. I went out there to think about some shit. I was watching the stars when this bright light came out of nowhere and knocked me out. Next thing I knew, I was waking up in a field 3 days later," Law said. He finished his beer and ordered another one. He had it to his lips before the waitress could set it on the table. She gave Law a funny look and took his money. She didn't seem too happy that he didn't give her much of a tip. "What do you mean a bright light knocked you out?" Bill asked. He was getting intrigued. Something had happened to Law. He wasn't sure if Law even knew it. "It was the weirdest fucking thing, man. I was sitting on my tailgate staring at Orion's belt. I don't know why, I just couldn't stop staring at it. Then a bright light popped up in the middle of them. I had never seen anything like it. It looked like another star. It started getting brighter as if it was coming closer. A wave of light came off of it and everything went dark." He told Bill the memory of being strapped down in that weird glowing hospital room and the red hand that held him down. Law chugged the last half of his beer after he was done. "I do not know what is going on, but I am freaked the fuck out." Bill was leaned forward on his elbows, his mouth hung open, at a loss of what to say. Finally, all he could say was, "That is some trippy shit there, my friend," and lit a cigarette. "No wonder you look like shit." Law tilted his head and looked shocked. What? You believe me? Law asked. Of course, man. You've never bullshitted me before. Why would you start now? Bill said. He had known Law most of his life and knew Law was not one to make things up. What do you think it was? Bill asked. Shit, I have no idea, man. Law sounded like he was whining. But that's not the only weird thing that's been happening. Do I look any different to you? Bill nodded his head in agreement. Now that Law mentioned it, Bill did notice him sitting up straighter, and his shirt fit better than it did the last time Bill saw him. That's because I've put on a good 30 pounds of muscle in 12 hours. How the fuck is that possible? Are you sure? 12 hours? Bill asked skeptically. Yes, I'm sure. I looked in the mirror before I went to work, and I looked like I always do. Katie brought it up while I was at her house and that I looked different. When I looked in the mirror, I looked like someone completely different. I don't know how it happened. I still did the same shitty workout that I've been doing the past 4 years, and I'm still drinking like a fish. He held up his bottle to emphasize his point. I haven't changed one damn thing in my day-to-day, and bam! He pounded his fist into his palm. All of a sudden, it hits me. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know what to tell you, buddy, besides that it's pretty badass, Bill said, smiling. Law looked at him unbelievably. He was really freaking out about the situation, and all Bill could do was make jokes about it. Law didn't like what was going on at all. Think about it, Law. Do you have any idea how many people would kill to get in that kind of shape without having to do anything at all? Shit, I knew I would. To prove his point, Bill pushed out his stomach far enough to make it appear that he was 8 months pregnant. For the first time in 3 days, Law cracked a smile and laughed a bit. I've been carrying around this little bastard for the past 2.5 years, and I know that I ain't getting any child support for it. Bill rubbed his belly. Law and Bill had known each other for a number of years. Ever since they were in the fourth grade, Bill's family moved into town from Southern California, and Law and him had instantly hit it off the moment their teacher sat him down next to Law. Bill had to be just about the biggest smartass Law had ever met. There wasn't anyone that could shut Bill up when he got into an insult contest. The only person that could hold a candle to him was Law, and Law had to work at it to keep up with him. No matter what was going on in their lives, they never failed to make each other bust a gut laughing at one of their idiotic jokes. They had spent many nights together laughing till they almost pissed their pants, making fun of movies, playing video games, doing impressions, or just making farting noises. Bill could remember the first time he met Law. He was nervous wreck about having to go to a new school and meet a whole new school of new people. The new school was completely different than his old school. It was so much smaller and more personal. Bill was a shy kid who liked to get lost in the shuffle and do his work by himself. The teacher, Mrs. Lockhart, looked like a nice lady when he first walked in, and she greeted him with a pleasant smile. Still, she was someone new, and she scared the hell out of him. She had introduced Bill to the class, who waved shyly around, really without looking at anybody. Miss Lockhart looked around the room to find him an empty desk. The only one was next to a skinny, grubby kid with taped-up glasses. Slowly, Bill walked to his desk and sat down. He sat and fidgeted with the edge of his desk, wishing that the teacher wouldn't call on him for anything. Law leaned over and introduced himself. Bill softly told Law his name. Law didn't say anything for a bit, then nudged Bill with his elbow and commenced to make rude noises with his armpits. The whole class laughed, and Law got sent to the principal's office. After that, Law sought him out at recess and invited him to play, and a lifelong friendship was born. Still, since then, nothing had come between them. Fuck it, Bill said, drowning another shot. Let's try as hard as we possibly can to ruin this sexy new Adonis figure you've so recently acquired. Bill held up his glass. Amen, brother, Law said and clinked the glass. Here's to getting back to that skinny little nerd I once was. They cheered and ordered some food to prepare for a long night of drinking. A half an hour before the bar closed, Law and Bill had become significantly drunk. They got increasingly louder, and the jokes and bad puns flew freely. They reminisced about old times, swapped stories of past and current girlfriends, and Law had explained everything that had been happening to him over the past couple months. Bill listened to everything with an open mind and offered what guidance he could on the subject. Bill agreed with Law that maybe he was being abducted in the middle of the night, but Bill had no opinion on why he was being taken. At one time, Bill had even thrown out the idea that maybe it was the government taking him and watching him to find out what kind of stress a man could go through before he snapped. That didn't sound likely to Law, but he figured they had better ways of finding out than faking abductions. Law was having the best time he had in a long time. Leave it to Bill to bring him out of the funk he was in and bring out the real him. They had stopped drinking the whiskey after the second bottle. They didn't want to get too drunk too quickly, and they still had to make it home. For the past 2 hours, they had stuck to beer. Law had left a couple of times to get more cigarettes. He surprised himself at how much he had been smoking. It seemed that he had always had to have one in his mouth. A minute would go by without one, and he would get fidgety and nervous and have to have one. He was now working on his fourth pack. His throat was starting to hurt, so he drank more to soothe it. Bill was ordering another round when Law was distracted by something. Two Mexican guys walked into the bar, talking to each other in Spanish. When they ordered the drinks at the bar, they spoke with really bad English, then went on in the language they were more comfortable with. They sat down at the table behind Law and were talking extremely loud. In the middle of the conversation, the Spanish began to slowly blend into English. A few words at first, and more and more, until Law could understand them perfectly. Bill was busy telling one of his goofy stories, but Law was not paying any attention to Bill. He was focused on what the two guys behind him were saying. One guy had a white cowboy hat on and a thin mustache. The other one was short and had a large gut. The cowboy was telling the shorty about going to a club in another town and having a one-night stand with a large woman who had a fuller mustache than he did. Shorty made a face, and they began to make fun of her for her size. They laughed awfully loud about it. Law leaned over the table and whispered, even though he knew that the cowboy and Shorty would not be able to understand him, even if they heard what he was saying. "Hey, Bill, do you know what those guys behind us are talking about?" he asked, jerking his thumb over his shoulder. "No, I do not speak Spanish, remember?" Bill answered and clumsily wrapped Law's head with his knuckles. Law was amazed that he knew what they were talking about. He had taken a couple Spanish classes in high school. He never did figure out how he passed those classes. He couldn't learn how to speak one word in those classes. Bill, he knew, didn't speak a word of Spanish either. He had taken German in high school. Law listened a little bit more and laughed at what the Mexican guys were saying. They were less than discreet, thinking that nobody around them could understand what they were saying. Law got a mischievous grin. "I can. They're talking about a girl the guy in the cowboy hat hooked up with. Apparently it wasn't a pleasant experience. It's pretty damn funny." Bill looked at him questionably. "Bullshit, man. Now you're starting to tell me stories," Bill said with a wave of his hand. "I've known you for a long time, and I know for a fact you speak worse Spanish than I do, and I only know how to swear. You're just trying to take advantage of me because I'm drunk." Bill was starting to slur his words. "I'm serious, man. I don't get it, but as soon as they sat down, my hearing went from Spanish, English to Spanish. It's weird." Law was downright astonished. He made a gesture with his hand for Bill to watch what he was doing. Bill scoffed at him, and he made a show of how out of the fact that he was watching. Law turned around in his chair and tapped the cowboy on the shoulder. "Excuse me, sorry to interrupt you, but I couldn't help but overhear you, and I have to ask, if you found the girl so repulsive, why did you sleep with her?" The cowboy and Shorty exchanged confusing glances at each other. Bill sat at the table, unable to say anything. His jaw was resting on the table. Law had asked the cowboy the question in flawless Spanish. Finally, the cowboy looked at Law and answered his question. Law turned around to face Bill with a grin. Bill sat astonished, then began to laugh. "Holy shit, I must be drunker than I thought. That's a nice trick there, Law. Did you pay those guys to come in here and do that while you were out?" Bill asked. Law shook his head. No, I'm telling the truth, man. I guess I speak Spanish now," he said. He was getting more and more unbelievable by this, or his day was getting more and more unbelievable by the second. He was intrigued, but also a little scared of what he was going to find out next. Was he going to go on another head? "All right, what'd you ask him?" Bill asked. Law could tell by the look on his face that he still wasn't quite too sure what to believe. Law told him, and Bill agreed that it was a good logical question. What do you say back? There was a low level of skepticism in his voice. Law wasn't quite sure what more he could do to prove to Bill that what was going on. Bill didn't speak Spanish, and for all he knew, Law had just spoke gibberish to the two Mexicans. Law began to giggle. That beggars can't be choosers, he said when he could breathe again. They both exploded into another fit of raucous laughter. The cowboy had fallen prey to the biggest peril of drinking, the beer goggles. It was the funniest thing that Law had heard in a long time. Okay, this is getting a little too strange for me. Did you hit your head and scramble your brain or something? You're starting to freak me out, Bill said. The amount of alcohol they had consumed was impairing his ability to fully understand the situation. He opened a beer and downed the entire bottle in one large gulp. Law snuffed out the butt in the ashtray and pulled another cigarette from the new pack, already half empty. Law stared at the beer glass for a long time, watching the bubbles float to the top. His entire world had just changed completely in a few days, and he was just starting to realize that nothing would ever be the same again. Something weird was going on, and he was a little nervous about it, what his future held. It's freaking you out? You should try being me for a bit, Law said, and ordered another beer. Last call for alcohol. The call came from behind the old wooden bar. Law could tell that by the look of the thing, it had seen a lot of drunks lose a lot of brain cells sitting at its scarred surface. He had spent a lot of nights in front of it wondering if all the stories of celebration, tragedy, and love lost that the plank had heard over the years. He'd often thought that it was a shame that the bar didn't have ears, arms, or a brain. It could have made a ton of money writing a book about all the poor saps that it had to listen to. Would have been much better than having drinks spilled on it or people's names carved in it by a bunch of stupid rednecks. Ah, shit already? Bill asked in a whiny, slurry voice. He made a show of looking at his watch with a disgusted look. Both of them knew it was too late to go to a gas station and get more beer. Bill turned in his chair and yelled at the bartender. Come on, Larry. Give us a couple more hours. We can still form sentences. Larry laughed and came around the bar to their table. Sorry, buddy. Cops tell me I gotta stop selling at one. I gotta stop selling at one. Larry went back to the bar and grabbed a case of beer and walked it back to Bill. But I can help you out. Think of it as a get-home-safely present for my two best patrons. Larry plunked the case down in front of the table, on the table in front of him. The man had always had an odd sense of humor. With a grin that split his face open like the Grand Canyon, Law took the case with open arms. Ah, you were entirely too good to us, Larry. You are a man among men, my friend. He felt pretty good. The past few hours of drinking and laughing had made all the strange things that were happening to him feel like a distant memory, made them feel like they didn't matter anymore. I've always liked to take the best care of my friends, Larry patted Bill on the shoulder. Now get the fuck out of my bar. His distinct Boston accent emphasized the word bar. Law had always wondered how a big city guy from Boston ended up this far west in a small podunk town like Lost Falls, Idaho. He'd always meant to ask the boxer-framed bartender, but like everything else in his life, he'd got distracted by beer and never got around to it. Larry was the owner of the cellar and the only bartender. As long as Law had been going to the bar, Larry had always been there flipping drinks. The cellar was not the busiest bar in town. In fact, Larry would be lucky if he saw 15 people all day. That's why Law liked the place so much. It didn't take him long to get a drink. With great effort, Law pushed himself out of his chair. He groaned as he stood and picked up the case of beer and looked at Bill. Well, guess it's time to hit the old dusty trail and finish this party somewhere else. Law began to stumble his way to the front door of the bar. True words were never spoken, Bill said. He almost fell out of his chair getting out. Being the professional drunk that he was, Bill gracefully pulled out of the pulled out of the fall at the last second, narrowly avoiding disaster. Law ran into a stool and knocked it over. Bill made it to the door first as Law tried to pick the stool up. When they got outside, Law noticed that his legs didn't work as well as he thought they did and almost collapsed under the combined weight of him and the case of beer he carried across the parking lot. Bill snatched the case out of Law's hands deftly before their plans were ruined. That new body of yours just must be just for show, huh? Jeez, how worthless can one human being be? Bill joked, mocking anger at what had almost happened. Oh, you have no idea there, pal. I could be much more worthless, but I just don't want to. Scare the damn bear like a good boy, and there might just be a shiny new nickel in it for you, Law shot back. Since they had first discovered the drink back in high school, Law had always been able to keep up with Bill drink for drink. Bill had a good 100 pounds on him, and Law always started feeling the effects way before Bill, but he didn't care and always kept drinking. That was why they always took Bill's car home. Bill had a certain knack for becoming completely sober when he got behind the wheel. He had fooled many cops that way. Of course, the drunkenness always instantly came back whenever they got where they were going. Law looked around the parking lot for any signs of Sheriff Chase, but didn't see any. He was leaving his truck and he was worried about the guy stopping them on the way home. It was a hot and dry night, just like it always was during the late summer months in the desert. The inside of the bar had been hot, with the old air conditioner hardly running, but it was twice as hot outside. Opening the door and stepping outside was like getting slapped in the face with a burning log, not to mention the cloud of gnats that hung around the light over the door. When are people going to realize that gnats are completely useless creatures and get rid of a lot of them? Do you fuckers have anywhere else to be? Law asked the group that was assaulting his face. He swatted at them, but it did no good. He was hopelessly outnumbered. I'm going to fuck these damn things up, he announced and positioned himself in a sloppy karate stance. He threw exaggerated karate chops into the clouds of annoying flying pests. Much to his dismay, the new attack had the same effect as the swatting had. They continued on with their bugged lives as if Law had never existed in the first place. Bill had parked his car on the far side of the parking lot. He always parked there. He said he didn't want any drunken guys door-banging his car or trying to get into theirs. He also figured that a bit of a walk always helped him sober up a little. Law hated him for that. Walking was the last thing he wanted to do. Larry should get some of those motorized wheelchairs for us so we don't actually have to walk, Law grumbled. Oh, man, this box is heavy, Bill complained. Here, buddy, let me lighten the load for you a bit, Log said. He grabbed a bottle from the case and twisted it open. Bill rolled his eyes. Oh, yes, that's so much better. Thank you very much, he said, his voice dripping with sarcasm. They reached Bill's car and walked to the driver's side and placed the case of beer on the roof. While Law made his way to the passenger side, Law hung his arms on the roof and waited for Bill to get his keys out of his pocket and unlock the doors. Bill's car was his pride and joy, a coal black 1978 Thunderbird. He had modified it himself and spent whatever free time he got either working on it or polishing it. Usually he could be heard bragging about how he could get to 160 in 10 seconds. No one really knew if that was true, but he could go on for hours about the fact. Absolutely no one but him was allowed to drive in it. He wouldn't even allow anyone to sit in the driver's seat. That was his seat. It amused Law that Bill would get the oddest little grin on his face every time he turned the key and the engine roared to life, as if the car was a woman and he was turning her on. Man, I love this car. Hey, you should open her up and show me what she could really do. I know this quiet little road a couple miles out of town we could take her down, Law slurred. Thanks, but you're just not my type, Law, Bill said. He seemed to be having trouble finding his keys. He had checked every one of his pockets twice, as working on the third time, when the blurry vision Law had been looking at him with cleared. The world snapped back into crystal clarity. He felt the strength returning to his legs, and his breathing became smooth. The sluggish haze he felt impaired. He felt impairing his thoughts vanished, and he got the very sudden urge to move. "Bill, down now!" Law shouted and sidestepped to the left. He had taken one step when he had heard what sounded like a firecracker going off, and the bottle in his hands shattered. Foam, liquid, and glass flew in all directions. He felt a slight sting in his nose, and as a small sliver of the bottle forced its way into his flesh. Law spun around to face the direction the sound came from, and was confronted by a horrendous sight. Standing on the opposite side of the lot was a 7-foot-tall monster, its long, skinny tail squished back and forth with a fluid grace. The thing's light brown skin was thick and plated. It reminded Law of a rhinoceros' skin. Two gigantic, unblinking golden eyes held Law's gaze in an unsettling manner. The creature had no nose that Law could see of, and a very large mouth full of pointy green teeth. Big gobs of drool ran down its chin and pooled at its feet. Staring at the thing, Loth felt the way he had when he was a child. It looked like the monsters from his nightmares. In its right hand held a long object that was pointed right at Loth's chest. Loth stared at the creature, not knowing what to make of it. The sight was so alien to him, it was hard to process the information his eyes were seeing. The thing sneered at him like a hunter that had cornered its prey. In an instant, his senses came back to him, and his mind screamed at him, "Gun!" It was obviously what had exploded the bottle in his hand. Instincts that he never knew he possessed kicked in. He knew that he had to find a weapon to use against the creature before it shot again. An idea popped into his head, though he didn't like it much. He twirled back to the black car and grabbed another bottle out of the case. Using the force to twirl back to face the creature, Law flung the beer bottle across the lot and with uncanny accuracy nailed the creature in its oversized eye. The gun was dropped. It and the bottle clanged to the ground. The creature grabbed at its eye. A horrific noise emanated from deep in the creature's gullet, a howl of pain that burned the back of Law's eyes and dug a hole into his brain and made a home for itself there so Law would never forget it. The howl echoed throughout the night, intensifying it tenfold. Every dog within earshot began to bark, joining the chorus, creating a cocoon of sound that assaulted Law's senses. With a thought, he turned the noise out. The world became eerily silent. Everything became muffled. The creature still howled in pain. Apparently, Law found its soft spot. "I got you now, sucker," he whispered. While the creature was distracted, he ran as fast as he could towards it. In 3 seconds, Law was across the parking lot, tackling the creature and sending them both into a parked car behind him. The force with which they hit crumpled the door inward, and Law banged his head on the steering wheel. The car rocked on 2 wheels, almost tipping over before coming crashing back down. The wreckage was still before Law exploded from the inside. Inside the car, flying backwards and coming down hard on the pavement, he slid on his back for 5 feet before coming to a stop. His back burned from the road rash he received. Once he stopped sliding, he picked himself up into a standing position and watched the wrecked car. It wasn't even recognizable as a car anymore. It looked like it had been T-boned by a cement truck. The tangle of metal screeched as it was twisted by a force from the inside, and the creature pulled itself out.
"You shouldn't have done that, boy," the creature growled as it stepped from the wreckage. "You should learn to die with some dignity."
Law wondered how Larry was going to react when he left for the night and found his car totaled. He wasn't going to be happy at all. The creature's voice sounded like clanging of a bag full of nails. With a grunt, it pulled a bar of metal that had once been the frame of the car's window.
"Don't worry. It's easy. I'll show you," the creature charged.
"Not as easy as it will be for you," Law said, and charged to meet the creature head-on. As he ran, he thought that the fight he was about to have would look like, to any spectators if there were any around, like the main scene of a B-rated movie was being filmed. When they reached within arm's reach of each other, the creature swung wildly its weapon, trying to cave in Law's skull. He thought all those years of martial arts training are going to pay off after all. The creature moved pretty slow, and Law was easily able to duck underneath the sloppy swing. This is going to be a lot easier than I thought. He spoke too soon. When it reached the end of its swing, the creature flipped the bar backwards and down with inhuman speed and brought it into Law's ribcage, hard. He gasped for air, unprepared for the force that was used and the pain that was felt. Up to this point, the situation had become so unbelievable that Law's first thought was that it was some sort of elaborate prank, and he wasn't taking it too seriously. If it had been a prank, he wanted to be a good sport and play along with it, give whoever had pulled it a good show. The realization that it wasn't a prank grabbed him, and he understood that something extraordinary was happening to him. It was time to get serious. Even though seeing a creature such as the one that stood before him was crazy, an even crazier notion surfaced. He felt as if he knew what the creature was, an alien from a race that lived on a planet far away. Something also was telling him to be extra careful, as this particular alien race was extremely dangerous. He stumbled back a few steps, clutching his stomach. The alien came right back with a fast backhand swing that Law narrowly escaped. He blocked the blow by grabbing the creature's arm with his right hand. He wrapped his arm around the creature's and brought his other hand up in an uppercut that connected with the creature's chin. His teeth snapped sharp, shut hard, breaking a razor-sharp tooth. His arm still holding the creature's arm, Law threw blow after blow into its face. Bones snapped under the force of Law's punches, and the side of the creature's face dented inwards. He took the creature to the ground with a leg sweep. It thudded heavily on its back. It looked odd lying on the ground. It had the same shape as a human. Its arms and legs were very muscular, though, longer than normal. Its head was the same size as a human's. Its eyes took up more of its face than anything else. Its face was nothing but eyes and mouth. With its tail, it couldn't lay flat on its back, its waist raised awkwardly off the ground. "Take a shot at me, will ya?" Law screamed in its face. Without giving it a chance to get off the ground, Law jumped high into the air and came down with both feet onto the center of the creature's chest. Another bone snapped as Law brought all his weight down. He began to prepare for another jump, but the creature grabbed his legs in a tight grip and threw him off. He rolled as he hit the ground, redistributing his weight to soften the fall. The creature let loose another dreadful cry of pain, holding its ribs while it stood. It was unable to stand at its full height. It was so hurt by the impact of Law's jump. Knowing that it would be favoring its injured rib, Law knew that's exactly where he wanted to attack. The creature was drawing ragged breaths as it stared Law down. "You're going to show me how to die, huh? I got a new lesson planned for you," Law said. He threw a right jab at the creature's face. The punch connected and its head snapped to the side. Law threw a cross hook with his left hand. After that, also connected and snapped the creature's back head to the other side. He began to get a bit cocky and started to dance around the creature like he had seen so many boxers do. He bounced on the balls of his feet, alternating between having the right foot, then the left foot in front. He never would have thought that he would have been able to beat a 7-foot-tall alien in a fistfight before. When he grew tired of showboating, he faked another jab, but instead launched a sidekick aimed for the creature's ribs. The showboating had given it enough time to clear itself. It caught his leg with his arm and picked him up, throwing him into another car in the lot. Law hit hard and saw stars when the back of his head struck the windshield of the car. The windshield spiderwebbed under his head with a crack. Dazed, Law rolled off the car and landed on the ground on his back. "You're too sure of yourself, boy. That's what got you killed the first time," the creature said. It cautiously walked to him till it was standing over him. It had ripped a car's hood off and raised it over his head. The creature growled a sound of satisfaction and brought the hood down. At the last second, Law kicked the hood and sent it right back into the creature's chin. It continued to howl the howl that made Law feel like an ice pick was being shoved into its temple. He had to end it. He had to make the creature shut up once and for all. He got up and drop-kicked it with both feet. They got the creature under its ribs. He twisted his feet when he connected to inflict more damage. They both fell to the ground, but it was Law who got up first. He grabbed the car hood off the ground and straddled the creature's chest. "The next time you try to shoot someone, make sure you hit him," he screamed into its face. Its huge eyes rolled in its sockets. It was in such a great... It didn't know where it was. Too bad for you, there won't be a next time, he said. He brought the hood down edge first and drove it straight into the blacktop. The howling stopped. Law couldn't see the creature's head. The hood standing straight up, buried in the asphalt, blocked it from view. The creature's body twitched and jerked as its nerves were quickly realizing they couldn't communicate with its brain anymore. A smear of orange blood stood out in contrast against the green paint of the hood. He crawled off the creature, sat next to it in the parking lot, and studied it. Its skin was rough and pebbly. It was like the texture of sandpaper. Whatever it had once been, it had come an awfully long way to die. Something in his head was telling him that the situation was all wrong. This creature was not supposed to be an enemy. It should have been helping him instead of trying to kill him. He didn't know why it tried to kill him. He didn't even know how he knew anything about it at all, but he did. It hinted that it knew him. He couldn't even begin to explain how it would. The entire day had just become too confusing to him. All he wanted to do was go home and sleep. Suddenly, he remembered the beer on the roof of Bill's car. After the craziness that had just happened, it sounded excellent to him. He grabbed a beer out of the case and cracked it open. Taking a drink, he looked around with wonder. All that racket, and no one had heard anything, he thought. The creature was making enough noise that the cops, fire trucks, and everyone else in town ought to be there to find out what was going on. He'd seen regular bar fights end up with a better crowd, and they made a lot less noise. Not one person was out walking the streets. "Dude, did you see what I just did?" he asked Law, walking around the back of Bill's car. He heard no response. "All right, you big pansy, you come out now. The big bad monster is..." Law stopped in his tracks. His breath caught in his throat. Lying on the ground in a pool of dark blood was his oldest friend, a bullet wound oozing between his eyes. Bill's eyes stared vacantly into space, no longer seeing anything. His arms and legs were spread out at odd angles. Lot fell to his knees in front of his fallen friend. "Oh, shit, Bill." His first instinct was to feel for a pulse, part of his mind not wanting to accept that Bill was dead. He didn't. Instead, he reached out and closed Bill's eyes. He didn't want to look into those eyes anymore. He felt an overwhelming sense of emptiness as it dawned on him that the only person that had ever truly been on his side was gone, never to come back. He felt hollow, as if he wasn't whole anymore. He sat with his back against the car and lit a cigarette. He sat and puffed. His mind wandered to thoughts of the seventh grade. Little Law sat at his desk doodling pictures of aliens and spaceships while the teacher droned on and on about some stupid algebra problem that he didn't care about. It had been 2 weeks before Christmas, and all Law could think about was sledding and what kind of presents his parents were going to get him. Bill had not been to school for a couple days. The rumor had been that he'd come down with something bad and he wouldn't be back till the new year. Law was worried for him, worried that he would never come back and that he would never be able to joke around again. After school, Law had thought that Bill would probably need some cheering up, so he quickly ran home, got his brand new video game system he'd gotten for his birthday a week before. Bill had expressed his excitement to play the game for months before Law had got it. Law's dad wouldn't let him take it to Bill's house and said he would lose it or break it on the way there. After a long explanation/pleading case to his mother about how sick Bill was and how the game would cheer him up and make him feel better, she gave in. Law ran as fast as his little legs could carry him to Bill's house, the game clutched tightly in his hand. When he got to Bill's house, Bill's mom told him that Bill had come down with a bad case of food poisoning and that he couldn't get out of bed. To Law's young mind, poisoned food was the worst thing that could possibly ever happen to a person. He convinced Bill's mom to let him hook the TV and the video game system in Bill's bedroom so they could play. He and Bill played till way past dinner time, and Bill's dad almost had to drag Law out of the house. Bill had looked awful when Law first got there, but by the time he left, Bill looked a lot better. It made Law feel good that he could make someone feel better like that. Bill returned to school a week later and thanked Law for visiting him. It was the first time Bill and Law had truly become the best of friends anyone could be. It was a great friendship that lasted many years that ended suddenly by some strange creature's bullet in the parking lot of a shitty bar. God, Bill, why didn't you duck when I told you to? He asked himself. His only friend in the world was dead. He was all alone. Law hung his head and softly cried for the loss. Thank you for listening. Visit my website at www.alawburns.com for more stories and my other podcasts and links to my books. You can reach me at alawburns@gmail.com or at alawburns on Twitter. All works on this podcast are copyrighted by Andrew Burns. See you next time for Chapter 5.